Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
You know, my wife and I, we actually got married on the 19th of October this year, which has got the ring to prove it and the debt. No, I'm kidding. We don't have debt, praise God. But you know, we actually went on our honeymoon and we got to go over to Adelaide because the Bordens were, anyone from Adelaide here today? Any Adelaide Crows fans here today? Oh, no, the other one, the Port. He's a big fan of the Port, this guy. Poor Adelaide, that is. But hey, sorry, you could hear that in any way you want to. But we went over to Adelaide, and when we were in the City of Churches, the borders opened up to Queensland. And so we actually got to go over to Brisbane, and we were having a great time. We were eating at great restaurants, and we actually got to visit a church in Brisbane called City Point. And I'll never forget, they had a pastor preaching there. His name is Pastor Andy Gula. And has anyone ever heard of the organization Red Frogs before? Awesome. So Red Frogs is actually an initiative that is birthed out of City Point Church. And Pastor Andy started it because he had some teenagers that he was discipling, and he didn't want them to graduate and lose their faith in Jesus over a weekend of drinking. And so he decided to go there and do what he can to encourage them, to support them. And his way of getting in was by giving out Red Frogs. And if you know the story, it's turned into an amazing organization that's had so many lost people become found in God, that's literally saved people from suicide, saved people from overdose, from death. And it's not just in City Point, it's in Brisbane, and now it's over in America as well. And I was just so inspired by what this man was sharing, because he gave this it was like a throwaway line, but you know when you're in church and a line just kind of penetrates your heart and it sticks with you? He said this. He said, "We have to stop treating the Great Commission like it's the Great Suggestion." And I remember hearing that and being shot to the heart, because if you're anything like me, I don't know about you, but I so often treat the Great Commission like it's just an option. You know, I treat the Great Commission like I'll get round to it when I'm not busy running my own youth ministry and doing programs. You know, I'll get round to it when I'm finished with this busy season. We're just moving buildings at the moment. I don't really have time to try and preach the gospel to other people. But I believe that message is so true to us today. And I believe that God is coming to us as Nations Church today and saying it's time to stop treating the Great Commission like a suggestion and start believing that it is a mandate upon every single one of our lives. I have news for you today. If you are a follower of the way of Jesus, if you have a relationship with God, it is God's desire and his plan for you, yes, you, to be a preacher of the gospel in your world. See, this passage of scripture that I've drawn our attention to, a couple of things I want to note about it is Jesus didn't give this instruction to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to all creation just to some of his disciples. No, he gathered all of them together, and to all 11 of them at the time, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." He didn't say, "Okay, you two, you're going to be the preachers. Everyone else, you're going to resource the church. You're going to do ministry in other areas." No, no. He said to each and every single one of them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." So I believe that's just true, as true for us today as it was back then, that God's assignment over your life and over my life is for you, is for me, is for us to be preachers of the gospel wherever we go. And I'm not here today as someone that's like really living this out and nailing it and kind of like, you know, come on, pick your socks up. No, I'm learning and I'm on a journey to try and preach the gospel more in my world. I'm on a journey to try and win lost people. I might be on staff at a church, but can I tell you, my prayer is that if I didn't have a title, if I wasn't on a platform right now, I'd be just as passionate about seeing lost people found. Why? Because the call of God over every believer is to preach the gospel to all creation. It's not for some, it's for everyone. And maybe you've excluded yourself. Maybe you thought, "Man, I'm introverted, I'm shy." I have news for you today. You are fully equipped and called by God to be a preacher of the gospel in your world. Not only that, but he doesn't just say to all 11, "Preach the gospel," but he tells them explicitly to preach the gospel. He doesn't say, "Invite people to church." He doesn't say, "Let your actions speak louder than your words." He doesn't say, "Oh, you know, be a good person and be kind and tell them that God loves you." All those things are good. We do need to invite people to church. We do need to be kind. Hello, there's enough Christians out there which aren't kind. We don't need any more of them. So if that's you, stop it. But I believe, yes, we need to be kind. Yes, we need to tell people God loves them. Yes, we need to invite to church, all that stuff. But the Great Commission isn't to be good people. The Great Commission is to preach the gospel. And I believe God is bringing us back today to the centralization of the power and the potence of the gospel in our lives. And I think so often in church, we've replaced the preaching of the gospel with the invitation to a service. Or the preaching of the gospel with the, I'm going to be an example through my actions. And all of those things are good, and please do that. But don't ever, may we never water down the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we never water down the word of God to make us feel more comfortable about ourselves. If Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel, then hey, that is the assignment for our lives. That is what we are here and equipped to do. But I believe for us to be good at preaching the gospel, we actually got to understand what the gospel is. Better than that, we got to understand why it's so important. You know, Jesus himself said this in Luke 4 verse 18. I love Jesus. He gets up in a synagogue, opens a scroll of Isaiah and says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor." Did you know that the anointing of God comes on your life for purpose? Come on. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, not to be kind, though we should be kind. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor. Do you know the number one role of the Holy Spirit in your life is to help you preach the gospel? Some of us were like, what? We don't like to hear that. We're like, man, I'm not really a preaching type. I don't like confrontation. And I get it. I'm on a journey too. We are all different walks of life, but I believe there is a unique calling and a unique way your life is going to preach the gospel to other people, that God wants you to be a presenter of the gospel to your world. Now, I've got a question for car enthusiasts in this room. Who, in fact, just a great question. Who here likes cars? Just wondering. No, it's not a trick question. Awesome. Awesome. I see those hands. Come down the front. No, I'm kidding. Now, I just need some help. I picked on Ty last service. So I want to leave him alone because I've bullied him enough in my life. I actually used to live with Ty, which is a good time. But I need to know, what is like your dream car? I need someone to yell out, just a dream car. Just yell. I just need to hear someone. Dream car. Anyone. Commodore. Bro, Nation's Port Kennedy is just down the road. I'm kidding. I used to go to Nation's Port Kennedy. I'm a big fan. I love PK. All right, let's go with it. Let's imagine with me the nicest Commodore you can imagine. I know it's hard. So we go with the Commodore. Now, what, who yelled that out as well? Who was it? Sorry. What's your name, brother? Ty? Itai. Okay. Everyone say, hey, Itai. It's a bit like interactive. He's like, hey, everyone. Now, let's say Itai has the top of the range Holden Commodore that you could possibly think. I'm not just talking like a nice one with four wheels. I'm talking like it's got pristine air conditioning. Like it's just been regassed. You know what I'm talking about? Like it's ready for the Australian summer. Not only that, he's got the luxury edition that has heaters in the seat. So in the winter, he has the warmth. And get this, they didn't put this in the other Commodores, but they put massages into the back of the seats of this one. And so, man, he can go in there. He can be cool. He can be hot. Not only that, but they got the best Bose sound system you could possibly think of and inserted it in the car. It's got a wonderful low end. It's got a beautiful mid end. It's got like fantastic highs. It's not too tinny. And it's like, man, this is amazing. Not only that, they put inside of it a V8 Stella engine. It's one of the engines that used to be a race car, so you know this thing goes fast. It's got a new paint job done. It's valued at, I don't know how valuable the Commodores are, more than $5. No, it's valued at, let's just say, $100,000. And let's say Itai here owns this car, but he never takes it out and drives it. Instead, it sits in his driveway. But don't get me wrong. Itai loves the car, man. He's not neglectful of it. Every day, in fact, Itai wakes up in the morning, goes, sits inside of the car for 30 minutes and listens to the radio, puts on his favorite podcast. In the winter, he gets warm. He gets a massage. In the summer, he gets nice and cool. He enjoys it. He's like, man, this is a fantastic car. He finishes the time in the car, turns off the engine, gets out of the car and walks on and goes about his day. Now, if I was to tell you that, you'd be like, Itai, we love you, bro, but you're an idiot. You need, like, the car isn't meant to stay in the driveway. The car is meant to be driven. Yeah. Do you know, when we ask for the Holy Spirit in our lives, without a willingness to go preach the gospel, we do the exact same thing. Because as great as those additional features are of aircon and seats and sounds and, you know, paint and all that stuff, the primary reason it's a car, it's a V8 sports car, is because it's meant to take you from A to B. It's meant to take you somewhere fast. It's meant to do it quickly. You're meant to take that thing and drive it around. And you know, the Holy Spirit, His primary role in your life is to make you a better preacher of the gospel. Yes, the Holy Spirit comes and He feels amazing. Who loves the Holy Spirit here? I love the Holy Spirit. I love being filled with His presence. I love speaking in tongues. I love seeing people get touched by God and healed and transformed. I love when I open my Bible and the Spirit witnesses to me and a scripture stands out. I love all of that. And those things are good because they are a part of the package. But if I enjoy that without a willingness to go and preach and present the gospel, I am missing one of the primary roles the Holy Spirit is in my life. And I believe for us, Nations Church, God loves the fact that we enjoy His presence, but He's bringing us back to the purpose of His anointing in our lives, which is to go and preach the gospel to all creation. It's to take that car and drive it somewhere so that someone out there who is far away from God, who is hurting, who is broken, that is in need of a Savior, can experience the same saving grace and love of God that we have. The purpose is to preach. You know, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8. How will people, unless the trumpet gives a clear call, how will people know they're being called to the battle? Now, this is in the context of when a battle would happen, someone in the city would go up really high and go, and sound a trumpet. That was a great trumpet sound, by the way. I'll be on worship next week. Sounds a trumpet. People would hear it and go, that's the war trumpet. They'd come back and they'd know it's time for battle. But if the trumpet wasn't clear, people wouldn't respond. They wouldn't get ready for battle. I believe this is just as true about the presentation of the gospel. Nations Church, if we want to see people this Christmas that are lost become found and accept Jesus into their lives, if we want to see your family members, your mom, your dad, your sibling, whoever it is, people in your workplace, if we want to see lost people respond to the message of the gospel, we actually have to get good at presenting the gospel. Because unless the trumpet gives a clear sound, how will people respond? And so if we want people to say yes to the gospel, we have to get good at articulating clearly and concisely what the gospel message is. And so the title of my sermon this morning is that. It's what is the gospel? And my prayer, my desire is for you and for me that we would leave this building today equipped and ready. Should the opportunity arise, we don't need to take 15 minutes to do it, but we can simply and succinctly present the gospel to people. Because the anointing isn't just to feel God and to be a better person. The anointing is to preach. And so I believe God's anointing wants to come on you today so you can be a great preacher and presenter of the gospel in your world. Is this okay? To help us with this, I have 3 points. Everyone say 3 points. Say it like me. Say 3 points. 3 points to help us be good preachers and presenters of the gospel in our life. Point number one. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The gospel is good news. The gospel is good news. Turn your name and say good news. Did you know, not a trick thought, but the gospel is not bad news. Hello, the gospel is good news. In fact, can we put up the Greek? The gospel is a word that's called euangelion, and the definition of that is simply this: good news. It's not a Bible word. It already existed, and it was used to describe the good news about Jesus. But how often do we live our lives like it's bad news? How often do we live our lives like it's something people don't want to hear? Let me tell you right now, if I was to say to you in this room, everyone watching online, hey, open up your hand and as much as your hands are open, you're going to receive as much gold as you want. Who would want that? Not a true question. Everyone loves gold, man. Prices are skyrocketing. You know, open your hand for Bitcoin. I was like, ah. So imagine that. Not only that, every person you speak to, that you get them to open up their hand to receive, they're going to have free gold given to them as well. You know what you wouldn't do? You wouldn't be shy about that. Why? Because that's good news. There's no need to treat it like bad news. Why? Because it's good news. But what we often do is we're at work on a Monday. We just heard a sermon about preaching the gospel. Sarah's across from us. Okay. Hey, Sarah. Sarah responds. Hey, Matt. Hey. Hey. I hate social interactions. How's your weekend, Sarah? Yeah, it was good. Okay, how do I do this? I don't want to make, like, Sarah, are you into precious metals at all? Oh, not really, but my auntie, she was into platinum, and my nephew that's on my mum's side, he was into also like silver and stuff. Like, oh, cool, 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 great. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. I don't want to impose my metal on your metal. I don't want you to feel like you have to, but would you be interested in like some free gold at all? And she's like, free gold? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make it sound so fun. In fact, better put, would you like to come with me to my precious metals group? We meet on Sundays at 9, 11, and 5. Like, no pressure. You don't have to respond. We're not going to ask for your money or anything like that. It's all free. It's only going to change your life and make it infinitely better. But hey, in fact, I'm so sorry I brought it up. I apologize. Have an amazing day. God bless. I'm a good person. Woo! You know? If we were to do that, we'd be like, you idiot. It's not bad news. It's good news. It's free gold. So my question is, why do we do that with the gospel? Can I tell you, the gospel is the most beautiful, profound, powerful message known to mankind. The gospel has the power to save. It has the power to heal. It has the power to transform. The gospel has the power to set free. What prisoners want is not a more comfortable cell. They want freedom from the prison. And you know, the gospel might not make people's lives comfortable, but it will set them free from their addiction. It will set them free from their bondage. It will set them free from their sin and the consequences thereof. The gospel is good news. Point number one, the gospel is good news. Point number two, if you're taking notes, it's simply this, and I want to encourage you, if you don't remember anything else from this sermon, remember this point. The gospel is what Jesus did for us and what that means for us. If you ever had a question in your heart, man, what is the gospel? I need to be a preacher of the gospel. How do I even preach? How to present that? All it is what Jesus did for us and what that means for us. What did Jesus do? Well, he came, he died, and he rose again. That's it. What does that mean? Well, that's where everything changes. I don't know about you, but for me, it meant as an insecure 14-year-old that lived to try and please people, lived to try and be accepted by people, was broken and empty, used to cry myself to sleep at night because I felt like I had no purpose, felt like no one loved me, no one was there. It meant that in a summer camp moment, I was at the back of an auditorium and I came forward for a prayer response, and as I took a step, this physical weight fell off my shoulders. I took another step, and it felt like these physical chains were falling off my shoulders. By the time I got to the front, I was bawling my eyes, I was on my knees, because God set me free from what people thought about me and filled me with a revelation of what He thinks about me. He set me free from the need to be loved by others by giving me an understanding that I'm already loved by Him. And the reason I stand here today, not just preaching, but who I am, literally the person that I am today, the confidence I have, it's not a pride thing. It's just a testimony. This is what Jesus has done in my life. I used to be so shy in social situations. I used to hate group dynamics. I used to hate talking to people because I always got rejected and shut down and said the wrong thing. Now, God has given me a freedom to talk to people, not because I'm meant to be this crazy cool extrovert, but because He gave me a revelation of what He means to me and how much He loves me. See, the gospel has radically changed my life. Not only that, it continues to change my life day after day. Every challenge I face, every problem I run into, every burden I have, God doesn't have a gospel 2.0 for me. He has the exact same one, that Jesus died and rose again, and by His stripes you are healed, by His nails you are forgiven, that He has paid it all. See, the gospel is that Jesus died for me, though I am a sinner and He was perfect, but He rose from the dead. Now if I just believe in Him, I'm set free from my sin. And I'm made right with God. I'm assured of my eternity with God in heaven. More than that, I have life and life abundantly this side of eternity. That is the gospel message, and it has radically touched and transformed and changed my life. My question is for you, have you forgotten what your life was like without Jesus? Because the gospel message in your mouth is simple and it's powerful. It's just simply, this is what Jesus did, but where it comes alive is this is what it means to you. Maybe you don't have a crazy past of drug addiction and all this stuff. Can I tell you, you don't need a crazy past to preach the gospel, because for every single one of us, our testimony is the same. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was blind, but now I see. There's not degrees to deadness. Dead is dead.
Whether you are dead in insecurity, dead in addiction, dead in bondage, dead in crime, it doesn't matter. If you are dead, you are dead. But the powerful message of the gospel is not what you used to do. The powerful message of the gospel is what Jesus did for you. That while you were dead in your sin, while you weren't following God, God loved you so much to send Jesus Christ to die for you, to take your place. You and I deserve to hang on a cross. You and I deserve to be condemned for our sins. But it was God's mercy that meant his justice landed on his son Jesus and not on you. It was his mercy that chose his son to die and not you. No matter how dead you were, the gospel is just as powerful in your mouth as it is in anyone's. And the gospel is not just a one-time deal. The gospel is the message that continues to transform and change us. The gospel is good news. The gospel is what Jesus did and what that means for us. And number three, and I want to invite the band to come join, is simply this. The gospel is the power of God. I'm going to say that one more time. The gospel is the power of God. And the Bible says this in Romans 1 verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it, everyone say it. Say it with some passion, say it. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So often we think it's our presentation that saves people, of how we tell them the gospel. I don't know about you, but I used to think this, maybe you thought this, man, if I could see more miracles, I'd see more people get found. I'd see more lost people say yes to Jesus. Because how can you say no to Jesus if you experience a miracle? If I could only see people get healed, or if I could hear God's voice better, I could better reach my friends. Can I tell you, hearing God's voice, miracles, all of that is available to you in Christ. But even if it wasn't available and you never had it, the gospel is enough to save. Why? Because miracles, healing, all that stuff, the presence, the atmosphere, they're fantastic, but they're merely supporting acts for the main event, which is the gospel message of what Jesus did and what that means. You know, I used to think if I could see more people healed, I could see more people saved. But can I tell you, healings do not save people. Miracles do not save people. Great atmospheres, great buildings, as fantastic as this new facility is, this does not have the power to save anyone. The only thing in all creation that has the power to save is the simple, powerful, profound message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. God so loved you, he died for you, and he rose again. You can be forgiven by believing in him. This is how he changed my life. Do you want him to change yours? You know, I love that we were actually, from Nations Youth, we were at a high school recently. We've been involved in the school for a little while now, and it's a Christian high school, and so they have a class called Christian Ed. And the teacher actually let us come in and just kind of hang in with the students. We were just sitting in their lessons, two classes, so about 60 kids. And then after a while, we had the opportunity to do like a panel. And so we actually got all the classes together and we sat down in an auditorium, very similar to this, just on stools. And we opened up for Q&A with these year nines to ask us whatever questions they wanted to ask us. And you can, and I mean, I know it's a Christian school, but doesn't mean everyone's a Christian. Most people aren't following Jesus. And so you can imagine the types of questions that people ask. You know, is hell real? What does God think about gay people? Like, yes, God loves all people. And, you know, what's God's thoughts on abortion? Why are Christians mean? Like anything, why do bad things happen to good people? All these kids just asking, and we're doing our best to answer them according to the truth of God's gospel and scripture, but also according to the mercy of God revealed through scripture. And so we're talking, we're sharing. And the teacher gave us the opportunity. He's like, hey, at the end, if you want, you can give people an opportunity to accept Jesus into their life. And so we got the whole room to close their eyes, probably about 60 kids. And I just gave them an opportunity. I simply just shared the gospel message. Hey, Jesus loves you. He dies for you. He can change your life. I shared how it affected me as an 11-year-old, as a 14-year-old. And then I said, hey, if you're here and you're in this place and you want to respond and open your heart and accept Jesus into your life, I want you on the count of three to put up your hand. I counted to three. Bunch of kids, about six kids, put up their hand in their local high school in front of their friends and say, I want to accept Jesus into my life as my Lord and my Savior. You know what's powerful about that is we didn't do a healing altar call. There was no miracles that I know of. We didn't have a band with a beautiful keyboard, and we didn't have a worship team. We didn't have a setup team, or the stage didn't look good. The lighting was terrible. But you know what? All those things are fantastic, but they're merely supporting acts. Why? Because I'm not ashamed, not of my church, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it, in it, is the power of God to save everyone who believes. First the Jew, then the Greek. And maybe you've disqualified yourself because you thought, man, I struggle to hear God. I'm not anointed. I don't have healing. Can I tell you, you are fully equipped, fully qualified, fully called to present the gospel in your world. If you want to see God move in your world, stop trying to really push for it to happen and just present the gospel to people. Because the moment the gospel is released, power is released for people to come home to God. The gospel, did you know this? The gospel inside of your mouth is just as powerful as the gospel inside of my mouth. It's just as powerful as the gospel inside of Pastor Chrissy's mouth. Just as powerful as the gospel inside of Jesus' mouth. Because it's not our presentation that counts. It's the content of the gospel. Corinthians, I believe, puts it like this. People are saved because of our foolish preaching. In other words, your terrible presentation of the gospel is enough to save someone from hell. Let that just sink in for a moment. I'm not a preacher. Fantastic. You're more than qualified. I'm insecure. Perfect. You're more than qualified. But I shouldn't be in ministry. Fantastic. You're more than qualified. But my past, you're more than qualified. Why? Because it's not about you. It's not about the container. Corinthians calls us broken vessels, jars of clay. It's about the gold inside of you. And that gold is the gospel message of Jesus. And I came here, Nations Church, today to tell you online, to tell you in the room, that the gospel message inside of you is powerful enough to save your friends, powerful enough to save your school, powerful enough to save your world, your workplace, your family. The gospel is A, good news. B, it's what Jesus did and what it means. And three, it is the power of God to save. And I feel the touch of God in this room. I want to invite everyone to stand to your feet all across this room. But before we move on, I want to pray for some people, but I want to give people an opportunity right now. In fact, can I get everyone to close your eyes? That'd be sensational. I want to give everyone in this place and online an opportunity to personally respond to this message of the gospel. Maybe you've grown up in church, but you've never quite heard it like that. Maybe this is your first time in a church environment. You're like, man, that makes sense. I never understood that. Or maybe you've been a believer, but you've been far away from God. And you're like, man, I want to give my life back to Jesus. Can I tell you, as great as the gospel message is, it doesn't do anything to you unless you receive it into your life. That's why the Bible says, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him. God has already given His Son. He's already done it all. The question isn't, does God love me? Does God want to forgive me? Does God have a plan for me? Yes, yes, yes. The question is, will you respond and believe in Him? Because the Bible says, whosoever, that includes you, with your brokenness, with your past, with what's happened to you, with where you've been in life. No matter who you are, if you can hear me, you are qualified to respond to the gospel today, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, would not go to hell when they die, would not live like hell this side of eternity, but would have eternal life. And the beautiful thing about eternal life, it doesn't start the day you die and go to heaven. It starts the day you accept Jesus Christ into your life. His life comes and fills you. He changes you. He transforms you. At 11 years old, I accepted Jesus into my life for the first time. And it was like this light and this warmth filled me, this hope, this peace and joy. It was experiential and it changed me. And I knew He was real. And I believe God wants to give many people all across this place, as well as through the stream today, that opportunity to respond to the gospel. And so I want to know, I want to say a prayer, but just so I know who I'm praying for, with all eyes closed and all head bowed, if that's you and you're saying, Matt, I want to respond. I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to open up my heart to respond to the gospel. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. I want you to know you are not signing up to join Nations Church. You're not giving money. You're not going through a 12-step process. You are simply saying, yeah, I hear that gospel and I'm responding by opening my heart and believing in it. And in that moment of belief, it has the power to save you from hell and bring Jesus Christ into your life. So on the count of three, if that's you, all across this room, and if you're a Christian, just be praying with me right now. I want to pray with you. Just slip it up nice and high. 1, 2, 3. Pop up that hand right now. Yeah, awesome. I see that hand over here. Well done, bro. Amazing, amazing. Anyone else, slip up your hand nice and high. Just look at me if you can. I just want to include you in a prayer. The Bible says, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. Come on, this is your day right now. If that's you, just for one more moment, I want you to lift up your hand. I'll see it and you pop it straight back down. But who am I praying for? Who are we praying with this morning? I feel like that's might be a couple more people that, you know, your heart's kind of like, it feels like there's butterflies inside. Can I tell you, that's God knocking, feeling like, hey, he's talking to you. It's time to respond. It's time to respond to God. Don't say, I'll do it next week. Don't say, oh, next service. Come on, you don't know what tomorrow holds. Tomorrow's not guaranteed for anyone. But what is guaranteed is today and this moment to respond to the invitation of Christ to receive forgiveness for your sin and accept him as Lord of your life. If that's you, one last time, left to right, I want you to slip up your hand. You pop it right back down after you lift it up. Just want to know if I'm praying for anyone else today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're here. You're touching people right now. Well, I didn't see any more hands, but what we want to do for this wonderful person that's raised your hand, as well as for anyone that's online, and you're saying, yeah, I want to respond too. It's all good. Putting up your hand doesn't save you. Believing in Jesus does. So if you just say this prayer and believe it with me, you watch God come in through the stream and touch your life. So church, can we all say this prayer together? And for that wonderful person that's put up your hand, just say these words and mean it. And if you're watching online and you're responding, why don't you mean it too? We want to pray. Come on, let's say this. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. I thank you for sending him to die for my sins on that cross. Right now, I ask you, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my friend, be my Savior. I want to live for you. I want to follow you all the days of my life. My life is yours, both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.